For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
So my wife has been doing something strange the last couple of months.
What's up?
I got calluses on the inside of my hands. They're like really rough, gross. And I wouldn't have thought that my wife would be cool with that, being a dermatologist.
Sure. Yeah, so and you're not like a working guy. She sees a soft boy.
Did you say that in light blue jeans with a button-up shirt with an embroidered design in the bottom left-hand corner?
Sure did.
Okay, great. You were saying, Kimmy, I'm sorry?
Well, she sees a problem. She probably wants to fix it.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing. When my wife is, when we're sitting around and she's like holding my hand or whatever, she'll start to play with my calluses.
Yeah.
She'll like pick at them. She'll run her fingers over them. Why is that gross to you?
This is gross, man.
Have you ever run your fingers over calluses?
I mean, I get picking your own calluses, but I wouldn't want to touch somebody else's.
No, she'll like graze her finger over my callus.
That's gross.
You want to try and see if you like it?
No.
Come here.
Touch your ass.
If I try and hit you with my car, will that change things?
Yeah, maybe.
So finally, after like a couple of weeks of her doing this, I asked her about it.
That would annoy me.
My wife told me that she's into it.
Into what?
She likes a man with rough hands.
Okay.
Which is great news for me. Mm-hmm. Awesome. But it doesn't make a lot of sense, because past my wife being a dermatologist and all, I would have thought women would be into a more delicate touch.
Well, that's something that's going to be like sandpaper.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think rough hands would do it for women.
I think like looking like you work with your hands could be sexy to
like
women.
Like a man.
Why'd you say it like that?
Is it manly?
No, she said looking like you work with your
hands. Well, because, I mean, you could have like, you know, like a rougher man hand without like, you know, doing a tough job.
I felt
day.
Personally attacked by that statement, I'm going to say.
But I guess it's a more manly, it's a macho thing, right? You do stuff with your hands.
Yeah.
I think
she wants your hands to look a little rough to an extent.
Okay.
Like, I think, like, for me personally, I draw the line at, like, dirty fingernails.
Okay, well, that's dirty. That's not rough. It's dirty.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
But sometimes it goes hand in hand.
Well, yeah, because if you're working outside all day or on machines, they're going to be filthy.
You get a lot of soap, buddy. Takes care of all of it.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the thing. So I bring this up to Kimmy yesterday, the rough hand question, because I was confused by it, right? And you said, yes, women prefer rough hands.
I don't mind, like rough hands.
However,
it doesn't bother me. Right? No, that's not a rough hand.
That's a soft-ass baby hand.
I have really nice hands. I could be a hand model.
That is a manicured hand.
Yeah, my nails are on point. You don't trim your nails and file them and stuff?
No, I cut them.
You file them, too.
You file your nails?
Yeah.
Kimmy.
Yeah.
So I bring this up to you off mic yesterday out of curiosity, and you agreed women are into rough hands, but then you said something that makes no sense.
Yeah, because it doesn't apply to another area of the body.
The dong? Oh, the rough dong?
No.
Old callous dong. That's a working dong right there.
Callous dong sounds like the third guy killed in the Civil War. Old callous dong came down from Manassas.
Rough hands,
all right.
Sexy. Rough feet, disgusting.
And you said you have a problem with rough feet in your household.
Like, so my husband's feet, they can get pretty gross. Because he's a big barefoot guy. Like, he will walk outside barefoot, walk everywhere barefoot. He never puts on freaking shoes.
Yeah. Deadhead.
Yeah, that's it.
So I'm like, I think, it's not set in stone yet, but I think I convinced him to come with me to get a pedicure. He says he's thinking about it. And that's as far as I've gotten. But I'm like, yes, let's do it. Let's get those feet scrubbed, man.
But you want your husband to get a pedicure so he has softer, daintier feet.
I mean, they don't even have to be soft and dainty. It's just like clean them up a little.
Okay. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. So what we are determining here in this room.
What's that?
Based on Kimmy as our sole female representative. And again, we love to hear from you ladies. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Women need rough hands. And soft feet.
Smooth feet.
On their
smooth
man.
Smooth feet, rough hands.
All right, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, because you don't do anything with their feet.
Thank you. What am I, some kind of gorilla?
Yeah.
But I think like a rough foot really stands out.
But when is
go ahead.
When's the last time you came in contact with your husband's foot?
I told you, my husband is always barefoot.
No, but I'm saying like your body.
And it bothers me too when he puts his feet on things. Oh. And I'm like, ugh.
Oh, man, no shoes, yeah. Foot on the table, that's going to creep me the F out.
Okay.
Not on the table, but like, anywhere. I don't know, just up on the couch.
Okay, like, I will put my hands all over my wife's body, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it'll be on her abdomen, get all up in that, yeah! Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got it.
All of a sudden, you got scared all of a sudden.
Why am I talking about you touching your wife?
Why? We're in love. We're married. We have two children.
She's your lover. I forgot.
I am allowed to slap my wife on the butt. Yeah. I mean, like, that's okay. I have committed to life to her.
All right.
But, like, my rough hands are running on her arms and abdomen and all that stuff. My feet never touch my wife.
If they do, you're doing it wrong.
We still pay attention to your feet, though. Like, if you're a big flip-flop guy, you got to look at your feet all the time. If you when you climb into bed at the end of the night, and you got rough, gross feet.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Like, it grosses me out now because I share the covers with you.
I'm with her on that.
So you want your man to have soft feet?
Ugly feet, man, just creep me the F out. And if your feet, you look dirty.
Every guy goes a little too long before he clips his toenails.
Oh, I'm
every
guilty of
guy.
That. Yeah, I'm guilty of that. But here's the thing.
I'm a weekly on that.
You weekly trim your toenails? Mm-hmm. Do you have any nails left?
I do my nails once a week.
I do my nails once a week.
And I've had a pedicure one time on air.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
It's great.
It really.
You don't have to get toenails painted. They scrub your feet.
They trim them. Yeah. They groom them. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Pedicures with your husband semi-agreeing to go and you having done one.
Yeah.
They are becoming more popular with men. It's not like men are running out to get them.
Yeah.
But it's estimated last year 22 million men in America got a pedicure, which would be about 1 in 5 adult men.
Yeah.
The salons I've been to, too, they also now offer a man feature, like it's just for men and pedicures or manicures.
What do I get?
I don't know. It's
they
just
use
like
a sanding belt.
Yeah. They make it sound really basic, you know what I mean? So you don't feel like
it doesn't sound sissy, boy.
It's more for your ego than anything.
Okay, but I still
they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing. The salon, or what would you call a place that does pedicures?
Salon does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not very welcoming to guys. Like, haircutting places have figured out how to cater to basic male instinct.
Yeah.
Because, you can have, you go to Trends with a Z, which is not aimed at men.
No.
Based on your outfit.
Yeah.
But, some of those same women that work there have opened up places that, they put sports in it or they put booze in it.
Yeah.
And it's the same place. But all of a sudden, guys are like, yeah, I'll go into that place. Kimmy, if there is a market for
maybe
men.
Maybe we're missing out on something here.
Yeah. Right. There are a couple of them around town that are just for guys.
Where you can get a pedicure and watch sports.
Well,
and
they're just basically, they're like a male salon. Same thing, but it's, I thought there was two at one time in Pittsburgh.
Just for the purpose
for
of
dudes,
feet and
hair,
hands.
Everything.
Yeah. Oh, hair.
Oh, so it does all of it.
Yeah. I thought they did.
I'm still out of the pedicure. I don't think it's a bridge too far for me. What's a point?
But what if it was at a place like that, where you could get your hair cut and have that done at the same time?
I'm not opposed to because here's the thing. My wife was like, you're going to get a pedicure. We're going to go to the girly place. Fine, I'll go.
Yeah.
It's just
but you wouldn't walk in by yourself. I feel like you need somebody there to hold your hand through it.
Well, yeah. And it would be my wife because she likes my rough hands. But no, it's a bridge. It's just too much time. I don't want to.
It's very relaxing.
I don't want to put the time in. I don't care enough to do it. I don't.
But you don't have to do it that often. Every now and then, just get a little cleanup.
But what am I getting out of it?
Nice feet.
Wow.
It feels good. I'm telling you, it feels good for you, too.
Yeah, if my feet feel gross and nasty, I just feel dirty.
I would also feel bad for the woman doing my feet.
Well, that's she makes her living.
No, I understand, but she makes a living on girl feet. Yeah. Not my feet.
I understand.
It's 12 and a half coming in here.
Yeah.
Scrub down my foot. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. We have stumbled upon a new equation for the sexiest kind of man. Rough hands, soft feet.
Yeah.
Kimmy and my wife apparently agree that rough hands are good on men, whereas they want soft feet. Kimmy now trying to talk her husband into getting
a pedicure. I've been
trying
for years.
Okay, so here's the thing. It is easy for men with rough feet to go get those fixed.
Yeah.
The more complicated part of the equation.
What's that?
Making your hands rougher.
Oh. Yeah, you can't really make rough hands if you don't have them.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Well, you're going to have to do something.
Yeah, start working out maybe more. Sometimes that gives you those calluses.
Well, like you said, either you have rough hands because you have a manly job or you don't know how to use a kettlebell the right way. Are there things outside of that?
To rough up your hands?
Could you like rub sandpaper? I'm being dead ass serious.
No, that would actually smooth them out more.
Yeah. Oh, good point.
But it does to wood.
Wait, would it? No, it would toughen them up.
It would just.
No, because the layer would come back thicker, wouldn't it?
I think it would be.
I don't know. I wouldn't really think.
I'm not suggesting that, but there has to be something.
You'd have to walk around holding something all day.
You'd also kind of look like a psychopath trying to rough up your hands. Like, I think if it doesn't happen naturally, just let it go.
Okay, but what's the difference? I'm asking a serious question. If I am going to get a pedicure only because my wife would be attracted to daintier, smoother feet.
Well, I don't know what if she's attracted to it. I think it just...
Okay, except happier with...
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm willing to do that, why would it make me a psychopath to make my hands rougher? It's the same thing.
But, I mean, does she really, really want rough hands all the time?
This is what my wife says. She's playing... I mean, bro, you ain't... stroking my calluses.
Yeah.
She is. She's all up in my calluses.
I would be afraid if I'm downstairs, I'm going to snag it on something.
See, so here's the other thing, too. Like, if she's wearing delicate, like, clothing, I feel
my... Oh, yeah, you're going to snag it.
I feel snag every once in a while. Right. She doesn't notice it. I think I might have ruined a couple shirts, but I haven't seen anything.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, I would have thought the same thing with the
I also don't wear calluses.
Why? Is it going to ruin your overall motif?
Yeah, I mean, I think I got nice hands.
But what do you need nice hands for?
Everything.
Like?
I get to eat.
To eat.
Shake
hands.
I can eat food.
When I'm dressed up nice.
I mean, just because he has callus hands doesn't mean they're not clean.
Yeah. I mean, they're not, but they could be clean. I could scrub them.
Yeah, I scrub.
No, but you literally don't need your hands for anything.
Yes, I do.
No, you do.
I got a steer.
I can do all of these things you're describing with my callus hands. It's not like I got two blocks on the end of my arms. I feel like we're missing a million-dollar business making men's hands rougher.
Rougher.
Because there are stupider...
The rough hands. We have the good feet and the rough hands.
Well, but tell me, there are stupider things that, like, bro influencers on Instagram make millions of dollars with.
Yeah.
You just put a lion on a bottle of pills, guys will take that pill.
Okay.
And if it matters to women, why would guys not be interested in buying our hand sander?
But here's what would be weird. If I knew you didn't work out, I knew you didn't really play any sports, I knew you didn't have a tough job.
Yeah, I walk in here and I got gnarled up hands.
She might see that as a little strange.
I would look deformed. It would look like I had some kind of like birth defect I was like lobster boy.
There has to be a story behind your rough hands, and I think that's what she's more attracted to than just the rough hands.
Okay, so it's not the feel?
I think it's more like she it's a sign that you're working out hard, right? So the rough hands kind of come along with that, and maybe that's what it is more for her than just
the rough
hands.
Yeah, where'd you get those rough hands? Oh, the callus store.
Yeah.
You can lie.
I go in there once a week. Tony fixes me up real good.
All right, we got a ton of folks writing us on Instagram. You want men or women first?
Well, I think this is a lady subject.
Okay, let's talk to Julie. Duffy on WCMF is the easiest way to get us on Instagram. Julie writes, rough hands means tough guy. Women want tough guys to feel protected. It's not complicated. Rough hands don't always mean tough guy. I am not a tough guy. There are things you could do. Your brother is a woodworker.
Yes.
He has rough hands, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He carves birds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is he tough?
Well, he was... Maybe earlier in his life. Not now. That is 78.
So no, then.
No.
Okay.
So but like my father-in-law, Tony, was in construction his whole life.
Okay.
His hands didn't even look like hands.
What did they look like?
They looked like miniature catcher's gloves. Like, they were just so beat up.
It is amazing how those fingers swell.
Bro, his hands just look, I don't know what they look like, but they did not look like hands or on a normal man.
Christine writes us on Instagram, by the way, her handle is Lady Snickerdoodle, which I love for some reason. Right. Nasty feet is poor hygiene. Nasty feet on clean sheets is gross.
Yes.
Is this a sheet argument? Have we been having a sheet argument the whole time?
I mean, that probably is the number one thing about his gross feet that bugs me.
All right, let me ask you this. Because we've been talking about women this whole time.
Yeah.
Kimmy, you want a husband with rough hands and smooth feet, which is one of my favorite Ribs Arkansas songs. Tommy, have you ever been with a woman that had rough hands?
No.
No?
Oh, yeah, I think I have. Yes, I have.
A rough-handed woman?
Yes.
Like noticeably...
Oh, yeah. Well, because, you know, I mean, some of the girls I dated in the grocery business, they were working women.
Okay.
But I also...
I mean, so they had pretty... This one chick had... Yeah, she has a man hands.
I feel like you... Rough hands to you, though, are just women who don't paint their nails.
Oh, that grosses me out, too.
Wait, non-painted nails gross you out?
Not so much non-painted, but if you have, like, chipped nails or, like, it's coming off.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, his...
Take it off.
He has a high standard for a lady
hands. It looks hoey. Like, if you don't have, like, If you have like nasty nailed woman,
got look, a nasty, nasty nailed woman.
No, that looks. That's a hoe look. That's like a. That's like a grimy South Florida hoey look.
Would you? Would rough hands on a woman be a deal breaker for
oh,
you?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Like to settle down with some rough ass.
Settle down. I'll sleep with you, but I won't settle down with a rough handed woman.
Same thing with the feet, man. I want to sleep with some monkey footed woman.
Okay. Got a monkey footed woman. You know, you gotta feel bad for the ladies here.
Why?
Everything about them has to fit a specific box. Like with Kimmy's husband and his rough ass feet.
I don't like a rough box either.
Kimmy wants her husband to get a pedicure.
Yeah.
But Kimmy, if that doesn't happen, it's not like a big deal.
No. Okay. I'm just going
to. You have to live with it.
Yeah.
Women's hands have to look a certain way. They're on display. Women's feet have to look a certain way. Yes. They're more on display than men's feet are.
Yeah.
Legs, ass, chest.
Yeah, all of it.
All of it comes with expectations. All of it is always on display. I wouldn't even know how to worry about all of that at all times leaving the house.
Tough for them, man. Who cares?
What do you mean tough for them? Who cares?
Well,
yeah.
Because he does a lot of maintenance. So he feels like he's in the club.
And that's as good as he looks. That's my point.
He's in the maintenance club.
No, but my point is he does a lot of maintenance and you're still revolting.
But they should look like that. They should take care of themselves.
Why?
Because they're women. That's what they should look like.
Oh, when you put it like that, no, it's because you want them to look good for you.
Hey, because they get perks.
Like what?
If we're in a sinking ship, they get to leave first.
That's
you and I got to stick around. Women and children, not
basing
doofus and midget. We had to sit in the smoking lounge with cognac and die. They get to leave.
So paint your nails.
Yeah, paint your nails, shave your goddamn legs, and shut up. Get off the boat, enjoy your life. Yeah, go spend all my money, too.
Your money? You live in your wife's house!
But you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't.
Burning building, these guys get in trouble if they pull a dude out. Go get all the women first.
No one has ever got yelled at for pulling
a dude out. Go get all the women first.
Okay. Now
so women get saved first, so they have to maintain.
That's a perk. You're going to die on here.
You're an idiot.
Okay.
You're an idiot. All the guys that are pro pedicure coming out of the woodworks. Daniel writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF. I am a male who is on his feet in work boots 52 plus hours a week. I get pedicures once every 2 weeks, and it's amazing. There's a place in Buffalo that will give you a beer while you're getting a pedicure.
Oh, there you
go. Okay, get down that. If we're talking about, I forgot about this. If we're talking about toughening up hands. Mm. You remember Moises Alou, the baseball player?
Yeah.
So Chuck reminds us on Instagram, you know what he did to keep his, he didn't like wearing batting gloves. So he wanted to keep his hands tough?
Yeah.
He would pee on his hands.
Oh. Why?
That's what he thought it made his hands tough.
What does
tough.
That do?
It worked for Moises.
Makes him yellow, I guess. Man.
Well, it depends on what
so
you
So he
drink.
Would, like, do but that and then just, like, let it sit?
Yeah.
Like, you go in a shower and just, oh, wait, he soaked in it?
I don't know if he soaked.
Like,
I don't know
pledge?
If he would pee. I have no. I don't
remember
know.
Those commercials?
Yes.
You're soaking in it. How do you keep your hands so fresh? Well, it's urine.
Well, he had, like, a 15-year major league career.
So he would put like a bowl down.
I don't know if he soaked or he just peed on his hands, but there was urine on his
hands. I'm guessing you got to soak, right?
I think if you want it to work in the way you think it's going.
Until Chuck, he just
wrote
ate
us. Asparagus.
I don't know. And now we have men bitch shaming other men for not getting pedicures.
All right.
Because Elijah writes us on Twitter, don't be a bitch-ass bitch. Go get your feet done. Feels great, especially if you're a guy who spends a lot of time on your feet. Take care of yourself. I go with my wife probably 3 times a year. I'm not a bitch. I go with my wife to get a pedicure 3 times a year.
Like a man.
All right, let's take a break.
All right.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
You would not believe your eyes.
What happened?
If you were to look out the window and see what these people saw, you'd be terrified.
Yeah.
Right? You might freeze.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to make a move. And you'd have to make a move fast.
Yeah.
And the reality is there are very few extreme options that people would judge you for even attempting here. So if you were outside this home and saw what these people saw, Tommy, what do you do? What do you do? You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We'll jump right into it.
Yeah.
Sunday, 10 a.m., just south of us.
Yeah.
Folks living in a neighborhood got the shock of their lives when they looked up at a second-story roof to see a baby climbing out the window.
Jesus.
Authorities say.
What a tough baby.
The 10-month-old tough baby, along with other kids, were unsupervised at the time and the baby found the open window and ended up on the second story roof. The baby made it onto the second story roof.
Yeah.
The story says two adults were home at the time. Now, we don't know the relationship to said tough baby, yeah. but the 38-year-old man and 38-year-old woman were arrested, charged with endangering the welfare of a child and reckless endangerment. Mm. Now, getting back to the roof, baby.
Yeah.
Put yourself in this scene, Tommy.
Yeah.
You are outside.
Yeah.
You see this baby on the roof.
Lone baby on a roof.
You got it. You have to do something. Tommy, what do you do?
So, outside of calling 911.
All right, so that's first move.
Yeah.
What is your next move?
But then how do I get the baby off the roof?
That's what I'm asking.
Watch. Like, if I see it, like, going, oh, it's already on the roof. So, you have to go inside the house or climb up the side of the house?
Okay. Oh, you're going to climb. You're not climbing. You can't climb. You ain't got climbing body left.
Yeah, probably not. And I can't communicate with the baby because the baby don't understand
baby
crap.
Baby does not talk.
Baby don't know crap.
No, baby, it is a baby on its own doing what a baby wants to do.
And I don't want it to jump.
I don't know if it would jump.
Well or just like
fall off, yeah.
Fall off, come after you. I don't know.
So you have no plan.
I knock on the door, go, hey, man, you know, your kid's on a roof.
Okay, you'd be pretty nonchalant with a baby. You can't, but if you take your eyes off the baby
yeah,
could
I know,
fall.
That's the fear.
Well, then you yell.
We yell.
Hey, you got a rough baby up there.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
Baby on a roof.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I mean, like, my first instinct, I guess, would be to, like, follow it, like, almost be prepared to catch it if it falls. Like, that would, I don't know what else you can do other than just
climb up
keep
there
your
and get
eye
it.
On this baby and hope that it doesn't walk to the edge.
So you're going to call 911.
Call to the edge.
You're going to call 911 and try and play baby
and,
catch.
And be, yeah, and be the, you know... Be ready if it happens.
Well, a young person should climb up there and get the baby.
Okay.
Yeah, but my fear in climbing up would be, what if it starts going in the... I mean, it's going to take you a second to climb up there.
And what if it falls while you're climbing?
Yeah.
All right. So you're saying stay on the bottom and catch the baby.
I wouldn't know what to do either. But thank God the neighbor...
No, do not spike the baby.
That's a good plan. Thank God a neighbor here
yeah.
is much smarter than yeah. all of us.
What did he do?
According to 13 Wham, a witness ran into the house,
oh.
climbed onto the roof, and saved that baby.
Damn.
So thank God the baby, yeah. along with the other children, ended up safe. And finding out how this story ends actually makes both of you look like a pretty big piece of crap. I'm going to watch the baby. I'm going to watch roof baby. Yeah. This person went inside. They handled business.
Well, I say, hold on. I said go inside.
No, you said bang on the door. Well, they went inside the house.
You can't just run inside.
That's what this person did, and they saved the baby. I mean, it is the life of a baby. It's a baby life.
All right.
I guess. I'd but be that's afraid your of point. Entering a home.
If I said that, you would have said, well, by the time you did that, what if the baby fell off the roof?
Also a valid question. But you were banging on the door. Hey, excuse me.
Well,
pardon
banging
me.
And looking.
Look, you got your face. Oh, wait, you're banging and looking?
Banging and looking. Looking and banging. Banging.
Got your face in the ring cam. Hey, your yeah. baby's on the roof. Look, I'm with you guys. I would not even considered running into the house. Like, would not have been an option.
Yeah.
You call the cops.
Yeah.
You bang on the door. You try to play baby catch. But short of a fire, I didn't think you were like anyone would have considered running in someone else's house.
I'm not sure how you catch a baby.
What do you mean?
Like, without hurting a baby. Well, you're hoping that the baby comes down properly, but if the baby falls awkwardly, let's say the kid comes at you head first.
Yeah.
How are you catching that baby?
All right.
You could hurt the baby.
You could, but I guess, you know, you break in the... Yeah, to Kimmy's point, catching the baby's better than the alternative scenario. What's an average 10-month-old weigh, like 25 pounds? You want to Google that?
Because
that's also heavier falling than you'd think it would
be. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I would be afraid you wouldn't have the strength to catch that baby.
I wonder if it'd be better for him to land in the bushes, like underneath,
no,
and then
no,
pull him out of the bushes.
No.
Well, because I say I catch him awkwardly. I heard him.
The bushes?
Yeah.
You're going to have a baby fall off a second-story roof into bushes. This ain't Looney Tunes, man.
No, nice bushes.
You know the Acme Bush Company?
Around 20.
All right, 20 pounds.
All right. You know, it's a bowling ball.
Remember we were talking the other day about having a catch?
Yeah.
Right, and how, Tommy, you haven't played catch in decades?
Yeah.
When's the last time you caught a football?
Caught a football?
Yeah.
Can't even think.
You dropped that baby.
Oh, I probably would drop the baby because I'd be worried.
That baby.
I would overthink it, scared I would hurt it.
You know what you could do? You could use your shirt to catch the baby, try to make it more of like a...
So now you have two awkward things. A baby on a roof, me bare-chested holding a shirt, trying to catch a baby in my really nice embroidered shirt.
He's not taking... See, that's why he's not taking his shirt off.
No, I'm not ruining my shirt.
I'm worried about this baby, but it's a really, really, really nice shirt. I mean, look, in the moment, you wouldn't be concerned about the feelings of the parents. You would just want to make sure the baby is
right. That's all that's all that matters.
Okay, but after it's all said and done.
After the baby has fallen.
When you get a hold of the baby.
Yeah.
How do you handle the situation.
Well, you give them back to the parents.
The parents that allowed the baby on the roof.
Bro, I'm not going to judge these people.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Here's your kid.
It turns out, according to the story, these parents had other things going on inside the house. Police say they also found malnourished dogs. So take from that what you will.
Okay.
I think it led to some of the charges here. Yeah. Now, we have talked on the show about how even the best parents can have kids that become teeny tiny Houdinis. Mm-hmm. They get loose, put themselves in danger when you turn your head for a second.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily make you a bad mother or a father.
Sure.
But I think it would take some self-control if you catch their baby or run upstairs and save them. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, would
no matter what the parents are, who the parents are.
Would you be within your rights to chew those parents out as you handed that baby back to them?
I guess so. I would.
You wouldn't do that?
No, I mean.
You just ruined your embroidered shirt catching a baby.
I want money for my shirt.
You're going to.
No, I don't want to make it worse for these people. I don't know what they're going through, and well, I don't care.
What about you? Don't care about the health of the baby?
The baby's fine now.
The baby's fine now.
We've called the cops, so we're good.
Okay. All right. Let's say you catch the baby before. Let's say you run out. You walk outside. You see what's happening. All in the one motion. The baby gets caught. Cops haven't been called yet. After you catch the baby, are you calling the cops?
Depends on what the couple looks like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, this is a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. No couple is going to look good.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, if I see some tells, like, it's like.
If you see other things going on.
Give me some tells.
Well, like, the dog looks. The place looks like a crap hole.
Then you're calling the cops.
Well, the dog looks not fed. The other kids look like they're not being taken care of.
Her fingernails aren't painted the way to your specification.
Place smell. Yeah, if it's raggedy, like a hoarder house. Okay. Let's say they were just hoarders. Okay. I look inside, it's a complete crap hole. Yeah, I got issues.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
You run, you catch that baby, cops have not been called yet. Are you calling the cops afterwards?
So that's what I was wondering because, like, I do not have children, so I feel like I don't want to be that person that judges a parent as somebody that's not a parent for this happening because I can understand how, I guess, like, maybe it's a one-time incident and you just got lucky. But I'm wondering, like, if a parent is in this situation, a parent sees the baby, catches the baby, are you going to have more or less sympathy for those people knowing?
Oh, good question.
Knowing that, like, maybe this is a similar situation, maybe not to this extent, but a similar situation has happened to you where your kid was out of your sight for a little bit and could have gotten into some trouble.
All right. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I'm going to throw a theory at you. If you are a parent that does not know these parents and you catch their baby on the second story roof, again, we're talking about this story happened just south of us Sunday morning, 10 a.m. A 10-month-old baby climbed down an open window, was on a second story roof. A witness saw what happened, ran into the home, got up on the roof, saved the baby. Police were called. The parents were arrested for a whole bunch of stuff involving child neglect. If I don't know the parents as a parent, I am judging the hell out of these parents and I'm upset.
Mm.
I would have to know them well. And know that they are good parents.
The situation.
Yes, for me not to call the cops. I think in any other scenario, I'm calling the cops.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a baby on a roof.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, my brother, when he was a little guy, he was a climber.
Okay.
So he, if you took your eye off of him for like a minute or two, like he would be like up on, you know, you don't even know how he got there in a dangerous spot. So I think, like, my mom, I'm thinking of her in this situation, would just be happy the baby's okay.
Fair enough. Okay. But I'm going to counterpoint you.
I mean, again, like, this situation is a little different based on the living conditions, but in any other strange scenario, she might just be happy that the child's okay.
But, like, taking the living conditions out of it, let's say as a parent, my oldest is 2 years old or 10 months old, she gets out on the roof.
Yeah.
Right? Open thing. I don't think I would be upset with the parents who saved my baby for calling the cops. I would totally understand
that. Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. I don't know how, as a parent, you can be like, I can't believe you just called the cops because you found a baby
20 feet up on a roof.
On a roof here. Baby on a roof.
Yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Let's talk to Karen. Hey, oop, hold on. Button. Okay, Karen, sorry, go ahead. You're on CMF.
Hi. I'm not handing the baby back until authorities come. If I see the dog looking like that, there's one thing if your kid falls or slam its fingers. There's no way that for 2 seconds the kid could get on a roof. No.
Can't. Look, hold on, Karen. Do you have kids of your own?
Yeah, I have three.
Okay, what's the scariest thing that ever happened with one of your kids?
Right in front of me. All three things. All of them.
Give me an example.
My son was sledding. He ended up with staples in his head. My daughter was in front of me, fell, hit her eye on a corner of a chair. And my other daughter was standing at the gate. She was like maybe 9 months old. And the gate, she was like hitting the gate and it came out from the doorway. And it literally took her fingernail right off her hand.
Oh, okay. But I mean, look, Karen, and I understand being a parent myself, these things happen. But there are parents that would hear that story and judge you for allowing a 9-year-old to be off on her own there, to allow your son to go down such a scary hill and eating staples in his head. What kind of mother are you, Karen, allowing these things to happen?
Those, to me, are kind of normal things. A baby on a roof is not normal to be able to climb out a window and do, like, how long were the parents not near the kid?
Look, all valid questions. I guess what I would be concerned about...
Especially at 9 months old.
Ten months. He was 1 month more mature than you said. Look, no, Karen, what I'm getting at is my fear would be if I don't give the baby back, am I kind of kidnapping that baby? Kind of feels like I'm kidnapping.
Well, you got to give the kid back.
Well, no, it's not I wouldn't take it, but the authorities would definitely come, and I'd even call for the dog people to come, too, and, like, assess
the baby.
Situation.
Okay. All right, Karen, thank you for the call. Have a good rest. Karen's taking that baby. That's her baby now.
Having my baby. My baby.
Because you left it up on a second
Catching
story.
My baby.
All right, 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Erica. Hey, Erica, what's going on?
Hey, so this actually happened to me in Brockport about 15 years ago. Our neighbors across the street we already knew they were scumbags. They were throwing the kid's dirty diapers out the same window that the kid eventually crawled out of.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, just throwing them out on the roof and leaving them there. So one day, we're sitting outside in our yard, and this baby climbs out onto the roof. So I'm screaming. My ex-husband at the time was a volunteer for the fire department. So I'm standing there calling the cops, and he's calling like people he knew. The cops eventually came and CPS came. They took the kid and later found out they were also trying to sell the kid on Craigslist.
Okay.
You could buy anything.
I mean, that's a pretty extreme
story.
Very
specific story.
All right, but Erica, you have kids of your own.
Yes.
Okay. What is the worst thing that has happened while you weren't looking at your kid?
I lost a kid for about 10 minutes at Darien Lake.
Okay. I mean, you understand that other parents would look at you and be like, how do you lose your kids? How old was the kid that you lost?
She was like 9.
Fine.
9?
Well, wait.
9.
That's not a big deal to you?
9. How do you go missing at 9?
Easily. What do you mean?
9 is like the age to go missing.
No, like you're just...
wander off.
Yeah,
I don't think I've been looking for a 9-year-old.
You're not looking. Just, what?
No.
Well, time to go home and make another one. I guess we're going to leave it alone.
No, go get a job.
Statement.
Erica, thank you for the call.
Join the circus.
See what I mean? You don't know the parents. You're judging the hell out of them. You have to know them for you to be like, okay.
Yeah, you're right. You have to have a little prior knowledge or experience.
But here's the thing. Maybe it's just women that feel this way.
Oh.
Because Mike is on CMF. Hey, Mikey, how are you, buddy?
Good, guys. I got a good one for you.
Okay.
We got a family down the street with a couple of kids, a bunch of kids, and their oldest son, he rules the roost. When they were hanging their Christmas lights, he was literally on the peak of the roof. And just being a little kid. But then the parents are good folks. They just don't really watch their kids that well.
That's the politest way I've ever heard that put.
I know. You're going to love this one. He mows the lawn. And he's only, I think he's 5 or 6.
Mows the lawn.
He mows the lawn. And we're a little worried he's going to chop a foot off.
No kidding.
Like, but, of course, I'm not going to say anything. But we just keep our fingers crossed and we see it. Anyway, I just thought you guys might want to hear that one.
Well, Mike, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Sure. Okay, so what did we learn from those last 3 phone calls?
Mm.
Are we finding out that men are way more patient with potential child neglect cases than women are?
Are they patient or they just don't want to get involved?
Okay.
Yeah. They don't want to deal with their own kids.
Neighbors, too, which complicates things.
Well, no, but the first, I mean, every call was a neighbor here.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Neighborhood action, yeah.
But, like, those women had no, like, the first one knew they were trash. Second one knew they were trash, throwing diapers out the window.
Yeah.
Son's hitting diaper mountain today. All right, so I guess everything is situational.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, but it also, I mean, it may also depend on what kind of judgmental person
you are.
All right, let's take a break.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What you need to get on a plane right now is super confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like 25 years in the making.
Yeah.
And things are transitioning and fine. But in an effort to simplify things, one company may have made it even more confusing.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Big announcement from Apple yesterday.
What are they doing?
In an effort to help people meet TSA ID requirements, starting this fall, American travelers will be able to upload their passports into their Apple wallet on their phone to get past security checks.
So you just show them on your phone.
Or maybe it scans or something.
Well, however they're going to do it, your passport will be able to be put into your Apple wallet.
Damn. And they will take that.
That's okay. What they say, yes. All
right.
Now, for those a little confused, think of it like Apple Pay, like the little ID thing.
Yeah.
All the other stuff that goes in your wallet there, right? And now you will have that document to use at the click of a button at the airport.
Right.
Simplifies things. Here's where it gets complicated.
What is that?
According to the story, the iPhone passport upload will not be good to travel internationally.
Okay, so you're just going to Canada.
Well, no, that's internationally.
Right, so I can't use it.
You can't use the passport.
So it's just if you're traveling.
Yeah, domestically.
Here. Yeah.
The uploaded passport on your iPhone will allow you to travel domestically, meaning in this case, you would not need a real ID to fly. But you already didn't need a real ID to fly because you had a passport,
right.
And the passport takes care of that.
Yeah. So it's pointless.
First place. Yes, exactly.
I see it as more of like a backup kind of thing. Like, let's say I'm flying. Yeah, like I'm flying domestically and I lose my form of ID.
Okay.
I'll at least have this in case.
Good call. But, you know,
what if I just took a picture of my passport and just had it in my photos?
No.
What's the difference?
I'm assuming this is like an official document on your phone. So there must be ways of them making sure you're not, you know, falsifying any records.
Yeah, it would be super easy to Photoshop anything I wanted on the photo of a passport.
Oh.
You didn't think that through?
A lot of work.
Not really.
Well, for me, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. But you're also not trying to, like, trick the TSA.
Like, to Apple Pay, you can't just take a picture of your credit card and show somebody.
No, but if you do want to buy stuff from me, you can take a picture of your credit card and text it to me.
Right.
This is why men your age get scaled. I've taken a picture of my passport to show you at the airport.
Or I can draw it for you.
You idiot. Okay, why does travel have to be so confusing right now? Because you can't travel without a real ID at all.
Right.
Except at a couple of airports in America.
Unless
which
you have a passport.
Have found a workaround. Yeah. Yes, unless you have a passport, right? But the passport you have to physically have with you until the fall, in which you could put it in your phone and travel domestically, but I can't leave the country with my digital passport. I have to have my physical passport on me.
It is a little ridiculous.
A little?
Like, I don't get the real ID.
What don't you get about that?
What's wrong with just having a driver's license?
Well,
what else is on there that they need?
So here's the thing.
I know it's got a couple of icons on there.
Driver's licenses are controlled by the state.
Yeah.
Right? The real ID is an effort, and it was supposed to happen right after 9/11. Yeah. Legitimately, this has been a 25-year thing.
What do they want?
They keep pushing it back. They want to have a federally uniform way to identify people getting on planes.
So every state before that look different. Now it's all the same.
The IDs don't look the same. It'll have the same regulations.
Right.
I mean, states could have different regulations for how they issued licenses and things like that, what they did about them. But what's funny is, and I'm knocking on,
because I still got the old driver's license.
Yeah, same here. But I have a passport.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because, you know, we're fancy men of leisure.
I go to Mississauga.
But, like, I'm knocking
for a vacation.
I'm knocking on wood here.
Yeah.
I would understand why right after 9/11, with everything we were going through, the need for a real ID to uniform identification getting on an airplane would feel like something we had to do.
Yep.
It was a very scary time. We didn't know what was happening. We have not had an incident like that in 25
Since.
Years. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. So, like, why now?
Yeah.
Why, after all of the trouble of trying to launch this idea, did they not go, you know what, maybe we don't need it?
You don't.
Unless there's something we're missing, 252-WCMF.
But to your point, it took a quarter of a century to come up with it.
Why would you not just mandate passports?
Yeah. I would think that would be easier for everybody.
Everybody
would
leave.
Everybody has them.
What's that?
Everybody would leave.
It's expensive to leave.
No. Too much. Yeah, that's a great point.
Because,
yeah.
Like, getting an idea, driver's license, not everybody drives a car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this would be a book of all your information to leave, but then I guess you're going to get the NWO people, New World Order folks.
Because you can have an ID without having a driver's license, so you already have.
Yes, you can do that. But, like, then comes back to the argument of how hard it is to go get that stuff. It costs money, but I guess the passport would be. It's the same argument against the universal ID for voting. You know what I mean?
Because that's why you just need that personalized chip in your body. They can just scan your body.
What does a passport cost? Is it like $100?
I think it's like 80. The last time I got it, I think it was around 80.
You want Google?
That was
Google?
A while ago.
Okay. 252 WCMF. Once again, Apple is going to allow you to upload your passport to your iPhone starting in the fall. And that passport on your iPhone will be good to fly domestically. Mm. So you wouldn't need a real ID to do it. Not that you need it anyway, because you already had a passport. Mm-hmm. You just wouldn't need your physical passport. Problem is, your Apple now iPhone passport won't allow you to travel internationally. So if you're going to leave the country, Canada, Mexico, wherever, or anywhere else, you're going to have that physical passport on you, despite the fact that it's still in your Apple wallet, not really doing anything except helping you travel domestically. What the hell is going on?
I don't know.
So, Kimmy, what do we got?
I don't know. My internet stopped working.
Okay. Is that important for what we do?
I don't know. It's hung up right now. Maybe it's just Google.
Maybe if we made getting passports easier, like that would be the simplest solution here.
If you made all this stuff easier, well, it would help.
I mean, a passport isn't terribly difficult. I mean, you just go to the post office.
I don't think most people know that, though.
Yeah.
And you have to schedule a time
to
go, which is also very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you
have
to take time out of your day to do it.
But you got to put all that information. Yeah. Then you have to wait. And even when you got to get a new one.
Yeah.
You had to surrender the old one
go
through the whole process all over again.
What I'm arguing here is instead of rolling out this real ID that took 25 years to get done, why didn't we just streamline how easy it would be to get a passport?
Yeah.
Right? Like, open up an office in every town in America like you would a DMV where I can walk in, picture done, documents finished, boom, we're here to go.
Yeah, I like it.
I mean, it's also weird that I can take a picture in multiple places to put on my passport. Like, I can go to CVS and that's now my international document photo.
Yeah, that's you. Yeah.
Like, the post office took it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Also, fun fact, we got the passports we go to Canada a lot.
Yeah.
When my youngest was, 8 months old.
Mm.
But only the person in the passport is allowed in the photo.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had to hide and hold my baby up
over
my head. But my hands couldn't be in the photo.
Oh.
So I had to hold her by the hip, balance her, because, she's moving.
Yeah.
Hold it. All right, go.
All right, so passports are good for 10 years.
Yeah.
That sound right?
I think so.
Well, roughly.
8 to 10. Okay.
So does she...
Babies have to get passports every 5 years,
I would hope so, because you don't look like that baby no more.
No, but that's what was funny.
What's going on here, kid?
So by the way, passport renewals between 100 and 130, but a first-time passport book's 165.
Damn!
Big money grab, baby.
Damn, shut up. It is pretty cool, though.
What?
All right. You have those moments where you feel like, I did it.
Yes, you're an adult.
Yeah. I never even imagined I would ever need a passport for anything. Because, when we were kids, we could just go to Canada. Well, you jump over here, jump over there, jump over here. Like, when I got my passport in the mail, I felt I'm a grown-ass.
International man of leisure.
I felt like 007.
Yeah.
I'm straight up. And my wife bought me a $5 Amazon passport book.
Oh, yeah, a little holder.
Yeah, it looks leather, but it's not. But it says passport on the front of it. And, I bring that
thing. Kevin, too.
Here's the thing. I bring it with me to travel everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Only because I want to pull out my passport.
Okay.
Got to put it to use. Watch why not?
It doesn't feel cool when you use your passport?
It's in the beginning, but sometimes it's when you travel, you go through customs, and they hold it, and then they look at you, and then they... put it back down. They don't hand it right back to you. I go, man, I'm in trouble. Something's going on here.
Well, yeah, but you have a lot of things you've done in your past that you can get in trouble for.
Who is this trout mouth you speak of?
Why do they
want to have a word with you?
Why is there a French guy working on
LaGuardia? I don't know. Okay. You're going to Quebec.
Can I tell you what really bothered me?
What?
Because, again, I didn't grow up with any of this stuff.
No, you had no money.
Okay.
Where were you going?
That's what I was saying in a polite way.
You was Poe.
I was always told that, when you went to another country, they stamped your passport.
They used to,
They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't do the big stamp, yeah.
Because, again, we went to England for the Bills game last year, and I could not. I was so excited getting off that plane.
They're going to see what the stamp looks
like. I was like, oh, I'm going to get my first stamp. This is great. And the guy's like, okay, thank you. And
so they don't stamp it.
They didn't stamp it.
I've never got one.
Like, I mean, how many countries have you been outside of America?
Three with a passport, yeah.
No stamps?
No stamps.
Can we go back to the stamps?
Yeah, it did look kind of cool. Yeah.
Right. Don't even make it mandatory. Give me a separate line. I'll go stand in the line for my ceremonial stamp. I just want stamps.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.